Scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and 16 and 17 from the New Revised Standard Version. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the book, The Road Less Traveled, by Scott Peck, which was on the bestseller list for decades. I think he wrote it in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was on the bestseller list for years and years. He must have made a ton of money off the book. It begins, and it's a great book. It's kind of a self-help book. Scott Peck was a psychiatrist, ways to kind of improve your life and to be better. But I remember so clearly how it begins, and it begins with just three words. Life is difficult. Those three words, that beginning sentence, stay with me here today. Life is difficult. How hard is it for us to accept those three words? I mean, we spend our lives, don't we, avoiding that basic truth about living, that it is often challenging, it is difficult, that suffering is a part of life. I think it's especially hard for people like me from my background, white folks in this country, from middle class and upper class. We live our lives believing that somehow life shouldn't be difficult, that it should be easier for us. But I think folks from different backgrounds and different places where suffering is just unavoidable have an easier time coming to terms with that basic truth. I knew about there was a young father who lost his wife in her 30s and left him as a single dad caring for two children who were younger than five. And I remember reading about his experience, and one of the things that he said was, as his wife was dying and he was understanding what was happening, there was a part of him that said, well, surely this can't happen to me. This can't happen to me. But the more he thought about it and the more he came to terms with it, he thought, well, this sort of thing does happen, and why not me? Now, that's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for us to accept that basic truth of life, that sometimes it's difficult, that sometimes we're thrown with challenges that we don't know what to do with, that sometimes suffering is unavoidable. Our Buddhist neighbors, in Buddhism, there are four noble truths to Buddhism. And the first one I remember so clearly from my days as a religious studies major in college was the first noble truth is about suffering, that suffering is a part of life. You live long enough, and you have to come to terms with that, that suffering is just a part of our existence. But the challenge is with suffering is that suffering can lead to brokenness. When we suffer, then it expands into our lives and brokenness in many different ways. Think about around here in this area in East Central Indiana. Many of you remember a time when factories were going strong and there were middle-class jobs for folks with just a high school education that could go to a factory and find a job that would support them and their family and a basic middle-class existence. And so many of you have seen this living around here for a long time. You saw those jobs disappear and those factories go away and there's suffering there. But think about the brokenness that then comes from that suffering. That is, those families lost that reliable income, that all of a sudden there were challenges and there were stresses in family life, and it was harder for couples to stay together, families to stay together when they're dealing with that suffering and that challenges. And then from there are things like drug and alcohol abuse that people turn to that as a way to deal with that suffering. And you see how suffering kind of leads to brokenness. You probably had this experience in your family, I'm guessing, in some way or another, that there was an experience of suffering that led to brokenness. Maybe it was grief. Someone died too soon. You lost someone too soon. And the basic suffering of that grief. But then that suffering can lead to brokenness, where we don't understand one another in our grief. We grieve differently. And there's fractures in family life, and resentment grows. And you see how suffering can many times just lead to brokenness. Well, here in today's scripture reading, Jesus meets a man who suffered. And he suffered from leprosy. Now, I was thinking about this week that how often do we see people in the Bible that are dealing with leprosy? And I would need to do some research on this, but in our own life, probably most of us will live our whole lives never encountering someone dealing with leprosy, but it was a challenge in Bible times. And what we know is that it is a chronic skin disease. I think in the Bible that they label many things leprosy more so than what we would call so today. But we know basically here that this man is dealing with physical illness. And there's the basic suffering of his body is struggling through illness. It's not working the way that we would expect our bodies to work. But that brokenness is not only the suffering of his physical illness, but the brokenness comes as it leads to separation. In Jesus' time, those with leprosy were not included in normal society, but were sent out to live in camps outside the city. And so they were separated from normal life, and they're separated from their families, from their jobs, the things that they love, that they're reduced to begging, and that suffering has led to the brokenness of separation. When I was about, 7, 8 years old, I remember it was summertime, and I was upset with my older sister about something. I do not remember what it was that made me so mad, but I was mad and I was chasing her and I had a softball in my hand. Now, I think that's maybe a poor name for a softball, because I realize they're a little softer than a baseball, but they're still hard enough. And so I was mad enough at my older sister and chasing her, and I threw the softball at her, which was the wrong thing to do, which was a mistake. And I think as I was running, I was not able to aim well, and I missed her, which was a good thing. But then our back, the door to the back patio of our home was made up of all of these little windows. They were maybe 6 inch by 12 inch. And so the softball hit one of the windows and broke the window out. Immediately, my mom asked, "Who did this? What did you do this? Why did you do this?" And I said, "The ball did it," which on one level is true. The ball did do it. But what the other truth is that I threw the ball, which caused it to break the window. And she said, "Go up to your room, and then when your dad gets home, we'll sort through this." And so I marched up to my room and closed the door and stayed in my room. Now, these days, I think for a lot of us, a little time alone without being bothered in a room by ourselves, maybe that sounds like a welcome thing. But at the time, I remember the pain of that separation. I couldn't be a part of normal family life. I was dealing with the regret of what I had done, the shame of what I had done. And there I was stuck in my room alone, not able to be a part of the normal family life. At one point, I even tried to sneak down. I remember I thought, well, maybe they've forgotten about it. And my mom saw me and she said, "Go back up to your room." And well, when my dad came home, we sorted it out and I had to pay for the new window with my allowance. And eventually all was made well and I was able to return to normal living. But I remember that pain of separation. It says, okay, you can't be a part of normal family life because you've done this thing. So I was put away in my room. That's this man in this story. He is separated, not because of anything he's done, but he's separated because of his illness. He's no longer able to be a part of normal life, and he's dealing with the brokenness of separation. How much of our brokenness leads to separation? And it could be like this story. Physical illness leads to separation. Haven't we all been dealing with this last year because of the virus, that we have been in many ways separate from one another? We have not been able to be together in the ways that we would like to be, and we feel that pain of separation, that brokenness of separation. But any physical illness, if it's significant enough, leads to separation, where your body doesn't allow you to do the things that you would normally do. You can't be a part of things that you would want to do. You look at something and you say, I can't do this because my body won't allow me to do this. And you feel with that pain of separation. Or maybe it's regret and shame that leads to separation. You regret what you have done, and you tell yourself, I can't be a part of something because I've chosen this action and it has led to separation. Or the pain of shame. I preached a sermon a year or so ago about the power of shame in our lives, where we and shame causes us to say, because this has happened, because I have done this, I can't be a part of things anymore. And I think the story I might have told was a good friend of mine from high school. He went on to lead a very tragic life as an adult and was in trouble and died tragically 7 or 8 years ago. But he went to prison for a time. And his family, they moved. They felt the shame of what their son had done, and they thought, I can't go into the store. I can't be a part of my normal life. I can't do this. So I've got to go to another community. The shame was so significant that it led them to separate themselves from their community. Brokenness, many times, can lead to separation. There's so many other ways that brokenness, that we experience it in separation, and nothing that anyone has done wrong. It is what it is. I mean, think about special needs folks who their bodies present different gifts, different challenges, and many times normal situations, they don't know how to deal with those special needs. And I found that's true in church life, that many times special needs people as adults, they don't come to church because churches don't know how to welcome them, don't know how to handle them. Our gay and lesbian neighbors, many times we have separated them from ourselves because we don't understand their journey. We don't understand their experiences. Racial differences have led to separation, where the power of racism, because we don't understand one another, because we feel like we're different enough that we're separate from one another. Or it's even something as simple of the brokenness of separation is experienced in our own lives, where we say, I can't be myself. I can't be my true self here. I must separate myself. I'll be rejected. You see how suffering leads to brokenness and separation? Well, what did Jesus do when he met brokenness? He brought healing. He brought wholeness. He restored people to life. Here's this man dealing with the sickness of leprosy, but also the brokenness of separation. And he kneels before Jesus. Think about this. When in life have you felt that you've had to kneel before someone begging for mercy? I mean, this is an extreme moment here. He kneels before Jesus. And he says, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. If you choose this, Lord, you can restore me to wholeness. And Jesus says, I do choose that, and brings healing to him. And Jesus then sends him on to the priest, and I've talked about this before. The priest would have been sort of a medical examiner to say, okay, you're well, you don't have leprosy, you can return back to normal life. But think about the healing that has come to this man's life. He gets his life back. He's no longer dealing with the pain of physical illness. That is taken away. But he also gets his life back. He can go back to his family, to his friends, to his work, the things that he loves, to normal living. He no longer has to deal with the brokenness of separation anymore. He can come back home. Jesus restores this man to wholeness, to life. And think about that. That's what Jesus did whenever he met brokenness, whenever he met the pain of brokenness that comes from suffering, is he restored people to wholeness, to healing, to life. It happens again and again throughout the disciples, throughout the Gospels. Jesus restores from brokenness, restores people to wholeness and life. I think our job as church is the same. Our job as Jesus' people is the same, to do what Jesus did. A church's job is to be the body of Christ. And I know that we toss these terms around so much that we don't even think about them. We don't even listen when you hear them. But think about that. We say we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. And so that means that what Jesus did, that's our job too. That our job is to live out Jesus' work in this world as Jesus' people. And so that means that when we encounter brokenness in this world, our job too is to bring healing and to bring wholeness. There's a church in downtown Fort Worth where I went to seminary. I was in a class that we were visiting some church experiences, and I remember we went and visited this church. And the thing that stood out to me to this day was they talked about their weekly agape meals. And I checked, I went to their website, and they're still doing it. Of course, in this COVID time, they're not able to have the in-person experience, but they're still doing their best to feed their neighborhood. Now, they are in a downtown experience, a downtown location, and so there are needs that are unique to their situation, and there are street people, and there are homeless people, and there are people who are living in deep economic need, and they decided that they were going to host a meal once a week for their neighborhood. Now, there are lots of places in downtown Fort Worth, as in every community, that's offering people a simple meal, soup kitchens, folk, where people can come through a line and get a meal, food pantries that provide people with groceries and things that they need to prepare meals for them. And those things are significant and holy. That work is holy. But this church decided that they wanted to do something different. They wanted to more than just give people a quick meal on a tray and then get them out the door. But they wanted to offer a meal that was also about fostering relationships. And so once a week, they invite their neighborhood in for a meal. Church people join with them as well. They sit around round tables to encourage relationships and conversation. As I said, the church folks eat with the people in the neighborhood. The church people serve the people at the table, so it's like a restaurant experience. And one of the musicians from the church will play music as well, play piano music in the background. They also have social services that are there as well to provide people with resources and opportunities to provide help for their lives. But when I saw what they were doing, I thought this is unique. This is like what Jesus would do. Because they're giving people more than just a meal, as significant as that is. And when you're hungry, that's significant. But they're also offering people relationships. They're treating people like human beings. They're welcoming people with hospitality. They're loving the stranger that comes into their midst, where they are no longer stranger but become a friend. And from that, there's wholeness. There's healing. The pain of separation is no longer there anymore, but they are welcomed in as whole people. That's healing brokenness. I believe that that's a church's job. That's Jesus' people. That's our job, to provide healing just as Jesus did, to heal the woundedness of brokenness. People of God, I know that you know brokenness in your life. We all do. In all of our lives, there are places of suffering. In all of our lives, there are places of brokenness. In all of our lives, we have known the separation that comes as we experience that brokenness. Could we, as God's people, as we know the healing that comes from knowing God, could we, as church, also create a place of healing for a broken world? Could we, as church, be a place where the broken beach glass of our lives, the broken beach glass of our world, becomes a healed gem, becomes a treasure? Life is difficult. There's no getting around that. And as we deal with the difficulty and suffering of life, we live with brokenness. But may we, in our lives and in our church, just as Jesus did, create healing. Amen.